You're listening to A Mighty Love, the podcast for honest and witty love wisdom.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Super great. I never know how to start.
I know. Well, we could start by introducing ourselves, I guess.
That works.
I'm Polycast Seeks.
I'm Demetrius of the internet fame.
Of the internet. Of A Mighty Love.
Yeah, there we go. Of A Mighty Love. And you are Polygal Seeks of The Mighty Love Podcast. That's awesome.
Yes. So, and here we are recording an episode.
Yes. So this episode's all about how I'm really bad at introductions.
Interesting. That sounds like a solid 45 minutes of material.
We could make a shit ton of material based on how bad I am at stuff.
I've always been amazed when, like, someone is so bad at something, it's comical. Like, I had this roommate who was terrible at introducing me to people, and it really highlighted it for me. Like, she invited a bunch of people over for a party, and I didn't know any of them, and it was super awkward. And then the next day, I was in line at Starbucks behind these, like, two 10-year-old girls who were, like, chatting, and then this one walked up to them, and she was like, "Hi, Kristen." And she goes, "Hi, Mrs. So-and-so." And then she turns to the girl next door, and she goes, "Sarah, this is Mrs. So-and-so, my teacher, my volleyball coach. This is so-and-so, this is my friend Sarah, my friend from church." And I'm like, how is this 10-year-old better at introductions than my grown-ass roommate?
Might just be really good, and your roommate might just be, or your old roommate.
Sure, but it was still, like, it really made an impression on me. I think about that all the time, actually.
Yeah, like, that was actually, like,
this very socially aware 10-year-old. I aim to be as good as that 10-year-old, honestly. Yeah,
I want
to
go to whatever finishing school she went to get, like, better at just introducing.
Or maybe you just need to go to church and volleyball practice. I don't know.
That would probably make me more social and better at introducing people. Sure. I am actually really bad at introducing people in real life, too. So I can sympathize a little bit.
It's a little hard.
Yeah. So rather than spend 15 minutes ranting, which...
Sure. about introductions?
Yes.
So diving right in. So this episode is about... this episode is about pop culture portrayals of love then and now. How we felt about them when we first were exposed and maybe how we feel about them now. Maybe we feel differently. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
So we're going to do one song, one movie, and one TV show.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd kick it off with these seven... sins of pop culture.
While we were sitting here thinking of some depictions of love in pop culture that just have not aged well.
Yeah.
So Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie has so many bad parts. There's the devil on his shoulder urging him to fuck that passed out girl, right?
That's a bit problematic.
A little bit. And
yeah.
Then there's also the whole scene at the end where, like, what he dresses up in a costume. I don't remember. You probably remember this, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure he dresses up in a costume, dresses as Darth Vader, if I'm not mistaken,
sure.
And tricks a woman into having sex with him by leading her to believe that he's somebody else.
Like, she pretends thinks that, he's her boyfriend or something like that.
Yeah.
And then when she finds out, it's just, she's cool with it.
Yeah, all these nerds are like, hilarious time. Fuck you guys. You guys are the bad guys.
Yeah.
You guys are the bad guys in this movie.
Yeah, they're the bad guys. I mean, maybe everyone was a bad person. Like, maybe
all
that's
pretty
the
bad.
Like,
yeah.
The 80s was a strange and difficult time for many people.
Yeah.
Or was it the late 70s? I don't know.
I forget. I think it was 80s because it was a Bobcat Goldthwait.
Mm.
I don't know. And I feel like he's an 80s guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Animal House, which is 70s.
Yeah.
It was just, like, 70s and 80s depictions of college life are, like, the worst depictions of college life I've ever seen.
I hope college wasn't
I think
really
also
like that.
90... Well, I mean, based on America today, I think it was.
Oh, well, that
was,
explains so much.
That explains a lot about where we are headed as a
culture. Undo Revenge of the Nerds.
And so much more.
That's why there's social justice.
So this next one is, you got to take this one because I haven't seen it all.
Say anything.
Yeah,
so this movie is super weird because he's very persistent and it's part, I mean, I tweet about this a lot, so anyone who reads my tweets is probably tired of me talking about this, but like this idea of persistence triumphant, where did it come from? Why are we stuck on this idea that like meant you're supposed to pursue someone, if she shows no interest, just keep trying. why? Like, they were kind of dating for a while, and then they break up, and then he shows up outside her window playing the music. Like, that's just weird and creepy. Yeah. If someone breaks up with you and you want them back, maybe don't approach the bedroom window. Maybe,
boombox or otherwise. Have an
honest conversation. I guess it's sweet. It's a little bit, it's too much and too weird.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, and then her dad turns out to be, like, kind of a liar or a huckster. And so then she winds up with Lloyd Dobler. And that just seems odd. Like, just because your dad is maybe not the best person doesn't mean, well, then this other guy who showed up with the radio, he's the one. I don't know. It's odd. I mean, yeah. I don't hate the movie, but it's so romanticized, and I just find it a little off. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's that whole, I just can't imagine a world where if it wasn't a movie where this would all be okay. I think that the most realistic part is that she has a parent who's like, is a liar, and then she ends up dating someone who's kind of a fuck up. It's like, well,
yeah. It's
maybe
true.
That part's the real. Maybe that's part of this.
Like, I mean, I definitely think it's true that when you have a bad relationship, either with your parents or, you know, maybe with someone else close to you, that you'll, like, try to recreate it with someone romantic and then try to, like, fix it and do it right.
Yeah, fix them.
Yeah, fix them, fix yourself, or you're like, ah, I'm going to prove that I do deserve to be loved. And that's no good. But
no.
I have definitely done this myself, and I think I've seen a lot of people do this.
I think everyone goes through a phase in their love life where they are either a reclamation project or are trying to, like, solve a reclamation project.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you date the person who shows up in front of your house carrying a boombox.
And you're like, this is what I need.
Yeah.
That's for me. Hasn't happened to me yet. We'll see.
I hope it never happens to you.
Me also, actually. Yeah. So let's.
I hate people playing music loudly in public. Like, unless it's like an organized party. Like, if you're having, like, a barbecue, cool. If you're just, like, walking around with a boombox, you're just a dick.
How do you feel about people who, like, bike with a boombox?
It's the most annoying thing ever. I just walked through the park literally, like, half an hour before we started recording, and there are a couple people with boomboxes. One guy was walking with a stroller with two babies in it, and he had, like, the boombox right near their heads, and I'm just like, maybe don't do that. Maybe don't.
That seems really odd to me. I mean, I get kind of annoyed with bikers doing it. The only thing I can say is that near my house is, like, kind of on a slant. Like, there's a pretty big dip.
Yeah.
So the bikers are usually going pretty fast and pass me by pretty quickly. So I'm, like, annoyed about the music for about 6 seconds. So I'd say that's the redeeming quality, is that it's over quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's, like, it's like when people don't hold the door open for you, and it's like, this is a mild annoyance that it will not bother me unless somebody mentions it.
I'm not going to hang on to it.
Yeah. Next one, Goonies.
Yeah.
You got really, really specific about Goonies because I feel like the only thing I remember from Goonies is Thanos being, like, latched onto the guy's car. Remember that?
No.
Josh Brolin's on the little bike, and, like, the guy grabs him.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, the most memorable, like, scene between, like, two men, two women, and, like, one dude.
That part of the movie is strange.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to attempt to murder you. Hilarious.
It's the 80s. There are no rules.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the weird romance that's brewing between the older brother and the red-haired lady, whose name I can't even remember, which tells you a lot about this movie, is, like, a lot of the male characters are, like, well-developed characters. There's the racist Asian kid. There's the fat kid. I mean, he's not racist. They treat him with racism. Yeah. It's not his fault. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I don't like it.
There's the Hobbit guy.
There's
Corey Feldman.
Right. Yeah, so they all have sort of these tropes. And then the women don't really have much of personalities, other than there's, like, the pretty red-haired one and then her less pretty best friend. But
and
anyway,
the mom of the...
Oh, yeah, the mom, the overworked mom.
Yes.
Those are the only types of women that there are, as far as I can tell, based on the 80s.
Well, I was talking about the mobster mom, who's...
Oh,
like,
right.
Those are the four genders.
I take it back. That woman is amazing.
She's incredible. Yeah. She's the best part of the movie.
Definitely. Oh, Fratelli. So anyway, so the red-haired lady, who has a name, I guess,
probably
has a crush on the older brother. And then there's, like, one part where she, like, asks him to come. Like, they're in a cave, and she asks him to come into the room, and she's like, I've got my eyes closed. And then, for reasons that don't make any sense, the older brother sends the younger brother, Mikey, to go, find out what she wants. I mean, because he's peeing? I don't know. This movie is strange. And so the little brother goes in, doesn't think it's weird that she yells, "I've got my eyes closed," walks up to her. She starts kissing him. He's all uncomfortable and weirded out. The best friend is watching and laughing. Then he just leaves. Then the best friend's like, "How was it?" And she's like, "It was incredible, but I didn't realize he had braces." And the best friend keeps laughing. Things happen, pirates, action, police, etc. And then at the end, red-haired woman and the older brother actually really kiss. And then she's like, "What happened to your braces?" And he's like, "Mikey." Like, as if his, like, 12-year-old brother was trying to make out with his girlfriend. Like, you're the one who sent her into this cave, and then no one said anything about how it was super weird for a teenager to be kissing a 12-year-old. Like, that's... Why is that even in the movie? It's, like, weirdly sexual, and then also not... I don't... Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Not the best choice.
I would...
No. That could be cut out of the movie, and it would not matter.
Like, they cut up quite a few things about the out of that movie. Like, apparently there's a big scene where they, like, fight a giant octopus, and they cut that out, except at the end they did not cut a part where the kids are like, "What about that part where we fought the octopus?"
Yeah.
And then when I was watching that, I'm like, is that kid a liar? I don't understand what's happening in the movie now.
I did hear about that story, because wasn't it, like, one of those, like, Steven Spielberg, like, practical effect? Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know why they dumped it. Maybe it didn't look very good. I don't
Probably
know.
Probably not. Yeah. Just like Jaws. Like, if you watch old footage of, like, when they were making Jaws, some of it is so bad. Like, that's why there's, like, no shots of the shark. But
yeah. I would love to make that movie now with, like, a terrible, like, paper shark. I think
that
would be fun.
Ooh, that would be a lot of fun. Romeo and Juliet. I mean, I think that Romeo and Juliet, if people understood what the play is actually about, and that it's not about lovers, it's about, like, this tragedy where everybody's kind of an asshole, then it probably would have aged great. But I think that it's somewhere along the lines, like, people equated this with, like, tragic romance, and it's not that at
They're
all.
Like 13 and 16, first of all, and
are they really?
Yeah. Okay. They're young.
That adds,
I mean,
that adds levels.
Maybe. I mean, in that era, I think girls maybe did get married at 14, so it wasn't that weird for the time, but pretty weird by now standards. Also, they needed a party, they decide they're in love, and then, like, their closest friends are like, "You should get married, that's a good idea."
Yeah.
Definitely marry someone you just met at a party.
That's usually how it goes.
And then, like, there's some confusion, and then, like, a note doesn't get delivered, and then they're dead. And that's...
Does the plot of the play happen over, like, 5 days? Maybe
it's
less?
It's not that long. Maybe, like, a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah. Not the best.
The time between you meeting someone and marrying them and then you both dying should be longer than 2 weeks. That's my opinion. And I stand by it to this day.
I will not fight you on that.
Unless you're both 100, then it's okay. Although, it shouldn't be the plan.
Yeah. I mean, if you're 100, just do
Live
whatever
your life.
You want.
Yeah. Why even bother getting married?
Live it's whatever like, life you have left.
To the fullest.
There's not much. Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I mean, the writing is beautiful. Yeah. And, like, a lot of the imagery and the, like, metaphors are interesting. But it's a weird love story. Like, I remember, again, this is, like, one of those things that I remember, like, as a teen, like, people really romanticized Gatsby and his, like, pure love for Daisy. It's like, this dude needs to move on. Like, he's clinging to this, like, it's so pathetic, like, that scene where he's, like, waiting for her to come to him, and she's just, like, calmly eating, like, old fried chicken in her kitchen with her husband. Like, she's not leaving her life.
Yeah.
She's just fucking around. And, like, also, what is even so great about her? Like, she doesn't seem that interesting. She likes money.
She
likes stuff.
You know what I always forget?
She kind of liked him because he liked her. That's
also
because
of the money, though. I think that's part of it. It's like when he showed up and he's like, "I'm like the wealthiest person on Long Island. Like,
she's
come
like,
party with me."
Cool. Yeah.
You know what I always forget whenever, like, read the book or like watch the movie? She has kids. Like, she has children.
She at least one
like,
daughter.
At least one. Yeah. And it's like,
that doesn't. Like, there's a moment in the book where he, like, sort of, like, is like, "Oh, a child," and then, like, just sort of forgets about it.
Yeah.
odd. Very odd.
But I think it does... I think people... A lot of these examples, people romanticize it without realizing what the actual point is. And yeah. I think that's part of the problem, is that it doesn't age well because people interpret it a certain way. Where it's not... Like, oh, this beautiful romance, this guy is so dedicated to her. It's just like, this guy can't let go of the past.
Right.
To the point where it causes death. Mm-hmm. Spoiler for The Great Gatsby?
Yeah, I mean, we keep spoiling things that are pretty old.
Really old, yeah.
So, sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have finished high school. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be helpful. So, this next one was mine.
Yeah.
Because I just... dislike it very much. The Notebook. Mm. I feel like The Notebook, when it was published, had already not aged well. I think you could say that of all Nicholas Sparks stuff. I think that the reason that The Notebook doesn't age well is that it just doesn't stand up to, like, what reality is actually like. And I'm sure that there's plenty of times where a guy would be like, oh man, I really love this woman, and I'm going to show her I'm dedicated to her by writing her every day, or however much Ryan Gosling decides to write. I feel like all the circumstances of that movie need to happen in a way that, like, doesn't happen. Like, I just don't think that it's plausible that a guy is writing a letter literally every day, and then it's getting delivered literally every day, and the mom has to, like, stop it from happening. Like, the mom was never sick. Like, she never went to the hospital. She never was like, oh, you know, I forgot to check the mail. Can you check the mail? Like, there's so many different flaws. And the fact that he was so dedicated, like, built this whole life around this person. And, like, was he just not a virgin, but did he just not fuck the entire time? Like, he had no other women in his life for years. Like, it's a fucking Marquez novel. Like, it's 100 Years of Solitude, or, like, Love in the Time of Cholera. Like, it's too magical realism for me to be presented as, like, this realistic type story. Like, no. Disagree. Don't like it.
Pretty sad. And also, even though I've never seen it, I had a pretty good sense that it was not the kind of thing I would like from the previews, and also the way, the kinds of people I knew who liked it. I remember at my first job, my little boss was like, it was Valentine's Day was coming, and he was trying to set up this date with this other woman he liked. Why didn't I know about this? I was 22. This guy was like 30. And then our big boss was like maybe also 30. So why were we involved in my little boss's love life? Unclear. I should not have been part of this conversation, probably. Yeah. But in any case, we're talking about this. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to invite her over and like make her dinner. I was like, wow, that sounds really nice. And then the big boss was like, so what are you guys going to do after that? Are you going to like watch a movie or something? And he's like, oh yeah, maybe, I don't know, I hadn't really figured it out. And she goes, you should watch The Notebook. And I also could not stop myself from making retching noises, which is maybe why I didn't last that much longer at that job.
Probably not, yeah.
Although, to be fair, I'm the one who quit. I was not fired for making retching noises when she mentioned The Notebook.
Are you sure that you didn't get like an official write-up, like, mention The Notebook, retching noises? Not a team player.
I mean, I'll take the heat for that. I don't know.
Yeah. I remember I wasn't that serious with this person. I never got serious with this person. Spoiler. Because she made me watch The Notebook. But
did you make retching noises?
No, I didn't, because I, like, you probably know this about me. Like, I love bad movies to begin with. And I love, like, over the top, like, just anything that is committed to being good or bad and just follows through and is super cheesy. I'm okay with that. But I remember watching it with her, and I was like, oh, like, she really likes this movie. Like, this isn't, oh, it was at my place. She had seen the movie. She owned the movie. She brought it over to my place and watched it and cried. And she was like, that's the kind of love I'm looking for. And I was like, wow, that's not how real love works. Like, you don't just dedicate yourself to someone for years and you never hear from them.
No sign that it's going well at all.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I think that it's a little unrealistic that fucking every movie, every piece of pop culture, what's his face, James Marsden, always gets fucking left behind. That's some bullshit. James Marsden is wonderful.
Maybe.
And he needs to find love.
Maybe that's like something he's struggling with, and he plays this role over and over in movies. It's like a coping mechanism.
I think like the only one that that doesn't happen is when he is dating a cheerleader and she, like, robs banks. Do you remember that movie? It's a great
movie. No, I don't remember this movie, but that one sounds good.
It's an amazing movie. She, like, robs banks with her cheerleading crew. But besides that, it's like X-Men. Probably Westworld. I haven't seen the most recent episode.
Me neither.
Yeah. James Marsden. I think the only time it works out is 30 Rock.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And my last one was sort of like a bit of a stretch, but hear me out. So in Super Mario, to take it from, since yes. we went all types of media. In Super Mario, the basic plot of Super Mario is that the princess is kidnapped. Mario is chasing her kidnappers to rescue her. And it's really all about, like, his dedication for his captured princess and how he'll, you know, fight all types of scary yeah. monsters and do all these cool platforming tricks. He'll even bring his brother with him to, like, rescue her. And there's yeah. this great video game called Braid, which, spoiler, it came out, like, 7 years ago, whatever. So the plot of Braid is sort of like Super Mario, but at the end you realize, after playing, that all the chasing that this character is doing, this Mario surrogate, to find the princess is really just like him being this obsessive ex-boyfriend, or just this obsessive guy who's obsessed with this girl who wants no part of him. So he's chasing her and he's going to all these different castles. And so it's less about Super Mario ages poorly when you think about, like, what is going on, like, what is the logic behind this? Maybe she yeah. likes Koopa. Maybe she wasn't kidnapped at all. And that's sort of the plot yeah. of Braid. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I think the helpless princess trope is finally dying, thank God.
Yeah. All our princesses from childhood became generals.
Yeah, I mean now, like, when we have princess movies, you know, like, Brave, like, she's yeah. tough, and it's not really about love, and that's a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember as a kid...
Isn't the whole plot about, like, the relationship between the mom and the daughter?
Yeah, it's about the mom and the daughter. Yeah. They're, like, she is supposed to get married, but it's not a love story at all. She's, like, not very interested in the suitors, and it's a lot more about everything except that, honestly. Yeah. But, you know, and that's a much more interesting story, and that's, like, something a little girl can relate to, honestly. Yeah. Like, a 10-year-old can relate to, like, my relationship with my mom is complicated way more than who should I marry,
yeah.
me, a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember, too, like, even as a kid, like, watching these movies and being like, Sleeping Beauty doesn't have a personality. Like, her personality is like singing in the woods and falls asleep. Like, that's not a fun thing to act out, you know? Like, she's not a person to look up to, really.
No. I never thought about that.
Or, like, Cinderella cleans, goes to a party, leaves, has small feet. Like, that's not a very interesting person.
Sounds like a lot of people I've dated.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding.
I know your type
just
now.
Just kidding. No shade to anybody.
I'm going to have to look at Jen's feet later and see how small they are. So, that's fascinating. But yeah, like, these characters don't have much personality. Yeah, neither does Princess Peach, honestly. I mean, I guess...
No, there's nothing...
Pink.
I don't think she was even... think she had a real name until, like, later. Like, you have to look at, like, the game guide. Like, you have to buy a separate yeah. piece of material to figure out what her name is.
Really,
it's just Princess.
Anything.
Yeah. She gets kidnapped.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. That's her prevailing, like, character trait.
But you know who else I feel sorry for? Luigi. He's, like, no part of this at all. He's just along for the ride. Like, do you think he just likes adventure?
I think he just has an asshole brother that he just sort of looks out for.
But he's taller. Why doesn't he just say, no thanks?
I'm gonna run
the plumbing business on my own.
Well, I think, you know, Mario's the guy who, like, opened the company and he has to, like, make sure he's not dead. You know, he's got the line of credit.
You know, going into the family business is really problematic.
This is why you never go into a business with a plumber who does mushrooms.
That's a safe plan.
I mean, you know, unrelated, probably a good idea.
I use Mario noises as my alerts on my phone when I have the sound on.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like when my mom calls, it's like the pipe noise.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, jumping off of
yeah.
pop culture depictions of love that
yeah.
have aged poorly or just never had good standing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about movies.
Okay, you lead off.
I'll lead off. One of my favorite depictions. So, we're going to go good or bad.
Okay.
And one of my favorite depictions of love in movies is actually A League of Their Own, because it depicts a platonic ideal of love, but between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
A lot of depictions, when I was a kid, I remember, like, seeing depictions of platonic love between, like, men and men, you know, like, buddy cop movies, you know, like, things like that, or, like, mythology where you're like, oh, it's Hercules and his nephew, who he's definitely having sex with. But anyway. But there's very few, especially at that age, you know, in the 90s when I was young, there are very few depictions of platonic love and admiration between men and women that wasn't tied to, like, later hooking up.
Right.
And when I was a kid, I didn't get why, you know, there's clearly chemistry between Tom Hanks and Gina Davis. Right? Seeing that and looking back at it now, like, I just watched it this year in a movie theater, no less. Shout out to Alamo Drafthouse. I think that it's one of my favorite depictions of, like, what it's like to, like, love someone, but, like, just care for them deeply and not want to hook up with them and not have it be all about rescuing them or having sex with them. Yeah. And it was incredibly modern for the time. It's huge credit to Penny Marshall, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a woman director, give her a movie and, giving, like, tell an interesting story.
Women, the characters in the movie who are women have depth. Interesting. Oh,
yeah. Facets. Have relationships that aren't all about sex. I mean,
or the men.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the character who's all about sex, so she's great too.
Yeah, but she is played really well. I think that Madonna does a great job with her. I love it.
Surprisingly, you wouldn't think of pop singers as being great actors, but she's pretty good.
She killed it. I haven't seen pretty much any other movie she's been in. I did not see Evita, or she's in, like, one good 80s movie. Isn't there,
like, Searching for Susan or
Searching
something?
Searching for Susan.
Something like that.
Suddenly Susan? No, that's a TV show.
TV show. Something similar to that.
Chasing Amy?
Not that. That's a movie that's not good, but we didn't put it on our list.
Super not great. Oh,
I have so many feelings about that as a queer person.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was good. I forgot about Chasing Amy, but Chasing Amy is so bad.
It's weird. I don't even know if we have time to give it the full treatment, but I would just say
I will say it is a product of its time. I would hope that as Kevin Smith has gotten older and more mature, he's changed.
He has said that if he made it again, he would do it differently. He said, like, he's not proud of the ending. So good for him.
He also just, like, had a heart attack, so I'm like, I don't want to trash your movie too much.
No.
Jersey Girl was really bad. Sorry, bro.
Well, hits and misses.
Hits and misses.
I picked Cruel Intentions. Yes. I don't think I ever really personally held this up as a great example of true love. It's certainly, if that's what you walked away from it, I don't know what's going on with you. One of my first things about this is I watched it with my high school boyfriend because he thought that if we watched it, I would get horny enough to have sex with him for the first time.
He picked the wrong movie.
Yeah, he did, and it did not work. I was like at the end of the movie, I was like all sad and depressed. I'm like, you thought that after I watched this, I would want to fuck? And like, I'm like, no, that's not where this is going. I'm feeling sad now. But the other thing I think about this movie, my other favorite memory about this movie is that I had this crazy night where I got real drunk and then had to, like, walk home in the rain. Like, I went to try to go meet this guy that I had a crush on, and he turned out to not be at that party, and that was all disappointing. So I come back, I'm soaking wet, I'm, like, hammered. And then my freshman neighbor down the hall is like, oh, I'm going to watch Cruel Intentions. I was like, I'll watch it with you because I had nothing to do. And I sobered up over the course of the movie. And we get to the scene where so Reese Witherspoon and Ryan have sex for the first time, and, like, it's, like, beautiful, and the room is, like, glowing and golden, and she, like, looks at me, and her, like, chin is quivering, and there are, like, these tears coming out of her eyes, and she's like, is that what it's like when you have sex for the first time? And I was still drunk enough that I just said, no. I did not gild the lily at all. I was like, no, that's not what it's like, which is accurate, I think.
Yeah.
I did not lead her astray. But that's sort of, and then the movie is sort of bizarre in that, like, you know, it's all a game, but we actually love each other. Oh, tragedy. Now I have your car for reasons that don't make sense with the plot.
Yeah, I don't understand why I mean, did he will it to her? Did he know he was gonna die? Like,
it doesn't really make any sense. I can tell you that if I had tragically died as a young teen, my parents would not have given my car to my boyfriend.
No, that's not a thing that would happen.
No, that's not a thing.
I do think that Selma Blair in it is like so under. She's so funny.
She is.
She is so funny in that. And God, she's in a rom com that I like. Actually, it's one of my favorite rom coms. It's like her, Cameron Diaz, Thomas Jane is the love interest.
Oh.
And shoot, Christina Applegate's in it.
Oh.
Why can't I remember the name of it? But it's. She's not even like part of the main plot, mm-hmm. and all her side plots have is so ridiculous. But yeah, no,
she's pretty good. And you know, I wouldn't say Cruel Intentions has aged badly. It sort of still is exactly what it was, which is kind of strange.
Yes,
Sarah Michelle Gellar is talented. She's
wonderful.
She played that role on the nose. I think that her acting holds up.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it also is because she like doesn't. I mean, she. Barely does stuff, but she was like Buffy for like 10 years.
Yeah.
She's like this hard-nosed, like not temptress woman. And it's like such a diversion. I do like an Arrested Development where they have the whole like random plot point where there's like, like the Dangerous Cousins.
Yeah, Dangerous Cousins. Yeah. I love it.
It's so goofy. I love it so much. My show example is actually really interesting because my show example is Cheers, and I think Cheers does a, and I don't know when the trope got originated, will they, won't they, like the Sam and Diane thing.
But Sam and Diane is one of the classic things people use as that example of will they, won't they.
Yeah, like I think in Guardians of the Galaxy, he says like the Sam Diane dynamic. Mm-hmm. He like makes reference to it. But what I think is amazing is in the series finale that they have the character Diane, I forget her name. Diane comes back in the season finale and she's like, hey Sam, I'm in town. Like, let's rekindle this. And then they try to, and then they realize like, no, you were gone for 6 years. We don't even like each other anymore. You could have come back a while ago. And it really doesn't romanticize what it's like when an ex tries to come back into your life and it's like, the thing, the issue never got resolved. The main difference between us never got resolved. And the fact that they close it with him being like, nope, I'm still at Cheers. And she left, she went back to LA. So I love that. I love that. I think that's one of the better like examples of what it's really like when an ex comes back in your life after 6 years.
Yeah.
Like,
if only Gatsby had seen the finale of Cheers, everything could have been different.
I agree. He basically should have been like, no.
Yeah.
No, she's married and she has a kid. She's not available.
Yeah.
Also, I'm super rich. Like, I can choose what I want out of life and I'm going to...
I could probably meet someone else.
Yeah.
Who's at least as interested in my money as she is.
Yeah. Or more. Or just, like, have weird orgies.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if that wasn't already happening at his place, he could have pretty easily initiated
that. See, I always pictured Gatsby as being, like, stoically watching it.
Like through like a weird like mirror slash window type situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, get in there.
Yeah. Next time, if you're a Gatsby-esque character.
Yeah.
What's your show?
Oh, so my show is the show Medium. It had Patricia Arquette on it. I think it ended like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I know not a lot of people watch the show. It's so because it's sort of like a family show. But that's actually what I really loved about it. Like, the relationship between her and her husband, I thought was, like, really good. Like, they genuinely really loved each other, but they definitely got on each other's nerves. They got on each other's cases about stuff. Like, at several points during the show, like, he lost his job and they were, like, financially stressed. And, like, I feel like they didn't shy away from, like, the sort of mundane quotidian component of marriage where, like, you have to keep loving each other when it's much less exciting or even kind of just annoying or boring. And they did. And like also their relationship with their kids I thought was like really interesting, where like their kids are not like these like shiny perfect kids. Like the kids like fuck up and make mistakes, and like the kids kind of come to grips with their own weird psychic powers. And I don't know, I felt like even though we're accepting this, like, supernatural component to the show, like, it felt very real, it felt very human. Like, of any marriage I would look at on TV, if my marriage wound up like that, I'd be like, I did pretty good. Like, we actually like each other, and that's pretty good.
It'd be great if you had psychic powers. Or medium powers?
It would be good.
She just could only talk to dead people, right?
She could talk to dead people. She could also see things that had just happened or were about to happen.
What?
Yeah. And then there was also this part where, like, there started being stuff with vampires, and I kind of got mad about that. I'm like, listen, I'm only going to accept so much supernatural stuff per show. Yeah. Like, if you're talking to dead people and
suspension of disbelief only goes so far.
The limits of what I'm able to do for you, Patricia Arquette, so watch it there.
Yeah.
But in any case, the love felt real.
Oh, that's really cool. Nice. Yeah. So, song.
Yeah.
I want to pull it up because I don't know if every... I mean, I completely forgot about the song until, like, today. Mm-hmm. When I was thinking, like, what's that song that I was obsessed with after I was obsessed with someone? And it is a song by Death Cab for Cutie.
Mm-hmm.
So the song is I Will Possess Your Heart. After I was dating someone and it ended poorly, it was a song that somebody recommended to me because I was feeling blue. And they were like, this will make you feel better. You know, like a sad song to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like super into it when I was... Like, when a song first came out, I think I probably sent it to the girl, like, no, I just want you to listen to the song, you know, reconsider. Yep. Really dumb. So, I'm just going to read some lyrics.
Did you show up outside of her house with the boombox?
No, she lived way too far, and she lived in a way too sketchy neighborhood for me to want to do that. No thanks!
Well, I'm good.
Good. It saved me from being something. I actually have never showed up outside of anyone's house. That's really creepy. And I'm way too big for that. Like, somebody's going to call the cops immediately.
Yeah, it's a bad plan.
Ah, so let me read you the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it with no tempo.
Okay.
How I wish you could see the potential of you and me. It's like a book elegantly bound, but in a language that you can't read. There are days when outside your window, I see my reflection as I slowly pass, and I long for this mirrored perspective when we'll be lovers, lovers at last. And it just goes on and on about this, like, obsession and, like, I will possess your heart. And then, oh, man, no. And I just saw something on Twitter that was really good. I think it was a... Like, Terry Crews is doing a press tour for Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
And he's in it. And I don't know why it came up, but he was being interviewed by Trevor Noah. And he was like, what one piece of advice would you give to someone younger than you? And I think he said something like, you can't truly love somebody if you're trying to control them.
Mm.
And I was like, shit, Terry Crews, like, who the fuck are you now? But that was the whole, like, that spoke to me because I'm like, yeah, like, the song is all about control and, like, possession. And it's like, you can't really love somebody when you feel like that.
Yeah. Bizarrely, this ties into something I read about sex robots. So you know how...
Go on.
You're going to make a mess. So you know how people are like, oh my god, they're making these robots that are so realistic. And then people are like, you know what I want to do with a real realistic robot? Fuck it. And,
yeah.
You know, and my point of view on this, very controversial, is go ahead.
Sure.
We've been fucking robots for a long time. You can call it a vibrator, but, you know, it's a machine that goes, it's a robot, so whatever. Yeah. Do what you like. But Lux Alpatrum, I don't know if you follow her.
I think so, yeah.
Used to run Fleshbot. She's a writer. She writes about feminism and sex a lot. She was like, you know, go ahead and fuck robots, whatever. But the thing that is sexy about sex, or one of the things, is that someone is choosing to give themselves to you, and a robot isn't choosing to give itself to you because the robot doesn't have agency. It is designed to accommodate human needs, and until a robot, like, has agency the way a person does, like, we're not in danger of everyone just wanting to fuck robots and that being the hottest thing. It's like, people will still desire the connection where you willingly give yourself to someone else, and, like, that's not going to go away as an attractive thing. And I was like, that's, like, a very nuanced,
that's a great,
fascinating point.
That's a great point, honestly, because, I mean, there's enough things that aren't, like, fully-fledged robots that can walk and talk and do all, you know, but there's things you can fuck.
Yeah.
That are robotic. Mm-hmm. And they're not, like, selling out, like, hotcakes. It's not like every guy's like, yo, man, I'm not going to go on this date. I'm going to fuck this robot.
Right. I mean, also, like, we've always had hands. And somehow we managed to leave the house. So
Some of us.
I hope you're all listeners. Please leave the house sometimes. It's for your own good.
Yeah. Wipe off first, though.
Sure. Please. Take a shower.
What's your song?
So my song is 19 by the Old 97s. I think it was a hit maybe like in the mid to late 90s. We're picking a lot of 90s stuff, but I think that's just telling of our age.
Yep.
So the lyrics that I kind of like about this are, so the it starts with, 19 is not the age of reason. I didn't have a reason for setting you free. I've seen a lot of love go sour, but that's not our love. You see, the problem was I was only 19. You know, he says, I've seen a lot of love go bad now, but that's not how our affair would have wound up, I swear, but I was only 19. Huh. I think the song is, like, actually interesting, where you're, like, taking this perspective of, like, yeah, I was dumb and young and didn't know what I had until I kind of threw it away carelessly. Huh. And I guess it speaks to me because when I was 19, almost the exact same thing happened. Like, I had had this boyfriend who had not been very nice to me, and I broke up with him. And then, like, maybe 6 or 9 months later, he, like, made a very big effort to try to get me back, and I said no. And he made a second big effort to get me back, and I said no. And then he wrote me this email that was, like, full of regret, and, like, I see now how stupid I was, and I fucked it all up, and I'm sorry, and I would do anything to get you back, but now I guess it's too late. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
it is too late.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he had that perspective where he's like, I have enough distance to see how stupid I was. I'm like, oh, maybe people can grow a little.
I think so. I've sent that email before.
Yeah.
I sent that email, so the song reference that I was talking mm-hmm. about, years later I sent the email basically saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I was 21, it's like, you know, sorry, like, you know, you're not,
yeah,
like, you know, I handled it all poorly, it's okay that you didn't like me, like, whatever.
But yeah.
21, 19, yeah.
Ding
yeah.
dong.
Yeah.
I actually had, I dated someone briefly when I was in middle school, which is not a very serious relationship, as you yeah. might imagine. It maybe lasted 2 months, which is kind of long for middle school, that's I super guess. Long.
Surprised you guys didn't get married.
Shocking. but years later, like, maybe when I was 25, he, like, messaged me and asked for forgiveness, and I was like, it's really no big deal.
Do, like, you remember what he was apologizing? Just, like, general
he
apology?
He kind of broke up with me out of the blue for another person that I knew.
Ooh.
I also think him breaking up with me had to do with the fact that, like, one time, it was, like, summer, and I went over to his house in, like, shorts, and he was trying to, like, feel my leg, but with his foot, and he was still wearing socks,
yeah.
So it was not sexy. And I was also too young to yeah. I was too young, I don't know if everyone was, but, like, at that age I was, like, way too young for that to be sexy for me, and I was like and I was yeah. kind of, like, yucked out by it and did not do a good job of hiding it, so that may have also been related to him losing interest and going for that other girl. So I think he was apologizing for that, but I was just like, you know, that's okay. And yeah. he was like, I feel really bad, and, like, da 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 da, and I'm like, jeez. It's really, like, I maybe was a little bit hurt at the time, but I don't really hold it against you. I'm not mad at you. Like,
yeah.
you're forgiven. And yeah. then he seemed very relieved. Oh. And I was surprised. And I was, like, to this day, I a little bit wonder if he was, like, doing a 12-step program and, like, just went as far back as he could possibly go to jeez. Stuff he had done that he felt bad about.
You do, I mean, have to make amends.
He did. You do, but, like, I don't,
like,
think
to everyone, too.
I don't think he was, like, on drugs or drunk at the time. Yeah, so I think you're, that's just a regular being a not nice teenager stuff.
Yeah, like, where, we all did that, or sure. a version of that, you know, or something where, like, someone in middle school we offended.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think a lot of us just kind of, like, let it go because it's old and yeah, pretty dumb.
And it wasn't, like, super malicious, you know, like.
No, no. Yeah,
like,
anyway.
I'm pretty sure I broke up with somebody in middle school, like, the exact. Well, it wasn't for, like, it probably was like, yeah, we're done now.
You tried to molest your leg with your socks?
Definitely not. It was a lot smoother.
Good,
that.
I hope so. Literally, or pun intended?
Yes, I would have had smooth socks, satin good. Socks on.
Yeah, so sexy.
Before we close,
yeah,
something that you love.
Okay.
I know what I love.
Tell me.
What I love, so I'm going to preface this.
Mm-hmm.
I am generally against imperialism.
Okay.
In all its facets. I'm generally against archaic institutions like monarchies.
Sure.
Especially the British monarchy, whose long history of exploiting people and just generally destroying a lot of the world.
Sure.
But I fucking loved how unapologetically black Meghan Markle made the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yo, this is like being at a black church right now. This is incredible. Yeah, this is amazing. I was like, wait, the preacher is a black dude preaching about love, acceptance, and Martin Luther King Jr. I'm like, great, this is every Sunday.
Perfect.
That anytime I was in a church with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. There was like a black choir. It was like a black, I forget, the musician was a black guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Like, there's people in there who probably never said a word to a black person before.
Now yeah.
I'm like, that was now amazing. Now they're
getting a double dose. Yeah. So
yeah. I love that.
Good for them.
I'm not a super fan of that whole institution, but
I think they have a lot less power than they used to, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, I mean, just historically not a fan of it, you know, but I thought that was amazing. I thought that was really cool, and you know, I hope that they're happy and they live a long, happy life together.
Yeah.
I hope she does amazing humanitarian work and work for the equality of all people.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I loved.
That's pretty good. What I love this week is pretty simple. Skillet nachos. You
what?
Know, when they make the nachos on the iron skillet and then they like bring it out to you and it's like hot and super melty.
Did you get some recently?
I did. And I was just like, this is the best food. And then I'm like, how can I even make this at home? I guess I have to get a skillet so I can make it in my oven. I was like plotting how to make skillet nachos at my house. I don't know why I love it so much, but I do. And they're like, you can't go wrong. How could you make it bad? I guess cook it forever. But
cook it forever.
But yeah.
No, that sounds awesome. Yes. I love that. That's
skillet nachos are good. To contrast it, one time I went to the best Mexican restaurant on the planet, finger quotes around this because it was in rural North Carolina. So I had some doubts about whether this was true, but I was hungry. And so I went and I was like, what? Well, nachos. Sure. I ordered it. The cheese wasn't melted.
Oh.
It was shredded cheese sprinkled on top of chips. And I was like, can't you melt this, please? And they said, no. So I did not return to that place. And that's not nachos. That's chips with shredded cheese sprinkled on it.
Oh, it's gross.
It was upsetting.
That's like what you make in a dorm room when your microwave is broken.
It's like what you eat when you're like confused and you have nothing. Like, you just, I guess, I'll eat these things at the same time.
Sad nachos.
Yuck. Skillet nachos, A+. Finger quote nachos that are just cold shredded cheese.
Yeah. I agree with you. I would turn those back around. Like, now give me something else.
I should have flung it at the wall and stormed out, but it seemed weird.
How dare you, sir or madam.
Yeah, I would have felt bad for the people having to clean it up, though.
Yeah,
so
that would have been.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's it. I don't know if there's, like, an overriding message.
I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things is, like, as we get older, we, like, get this perspective on things where, like, things that seem, like, simple we see as more complex, and we're also able to see our own faults in our bad behavior, or maybe just our misled behavior.
Yeah, I think that everyone, I mean, the best of us, even me, you, learns from, like, nobody creates their image of, like, what a romance should be and what love should be in a vacuum, and I think that, you know, this whole point where we were talking about pop culture that we love or consume.
Yeah.
And how the perspective changes. It's just a good reminder to just sort of like check where your ideas come from. Like, you know, when you were a kid, maybe you thought there was going to be a Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that you need to just be a princess who
does more than sleep for 100 years.
There you go.
Yeah. You got to get out there, wake up, do things.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe don't date people who trick you into kissing them.
Yeah.
It's like the overarching theme.
Try not to.
Yeah.
Seems negative.
Yeah. There seems like a lot of that in a lot of pop culture.
Tricking people into kissing each other just seems odd.
Yeah.
Let's do less of that. Let's do none of that.
Yeah. Let's go zero.
Let's have all kissing be consensual from right now.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's put that on the docket.
Okay, so that's the rule now, everyone. You heard it here first.
Well, you know.
Only consensual kissing.
Yeah, well, now we solved it.
I think everything is fixed.
Oh, man, we're going to get sued so hard. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always. I think that's it. I've been told to remember to say goodbye. So
yes, so say goodbye as is
all right.
Your way.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for listening, and good luck out there. Shout out to Mary.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary.
All right. Bye.
Bye.